Everybody knows everything's bigger in Texas, and there is a Texas-sized showdown going on in the major leagues right now. BetOnline is your number one source for all your baseball wagering info. Up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, matchup breakdown, only one place to go, BetOnline. Plus, don't you get it twisted. They've got all your odds and betting information that you need for college and NFL football. I'm talking real-time updates, spreads, odds. It's all there. Everything you need to stay up to speed on each LCS all the way through to the World Series, it's all there at BetOnline. So why don't you do me a favor and do yourself a favor? Grab that mobile device, head on over to BetOnline, sign up, and don't forget to use that code BLEAV. That's Believe. Get yourself a 50%. That's right. I said 50% welcome bonus when you sign up. Bet online, where the game starts.
I hope you're ready to have your mind blown with the greatest health and fitness information on the planet.
Yes, bitch!
Yeah, buddy. All right, it's the Mikey Likes You podcast. I am Mikey, who likes. You are you, who is liked. What a great system. Today, I wanted to get some stuff off my chest. Some of it is going to be helpful and productive. Other stuff, mainly one topic, it was just so wildly, aggressively concerning to me. And so few things are concerning to me. But this one really, really, genuinely scared me. And it has to do with health and fitness, so I wanted to kind of dive right into it and give a real experienced view and advice and talking to you young men, mostly young men and some young women out there, because there is a whole new growth of really dangerous behavior being promoted or at least glamorized on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and things like that. So I wanted to dive into that. But first things first, I want to say thank you to Giorgio, the man who makes this show possible from a visual and audio standpoint. I want to say thank you to Bet Online, who has always had my back. First Attachment, who makes the best nutritional supplements on the planet. In fact, I pulled one of the clips that I'm going to talk about from a First Attachment talk with Allie Gilbert, who is the queen of men's health. For use code Mike10 if you're going to check out First Attachment. I can't recommend them enough. And of course, the patrons, all of you at every tier, thank you so much, because you do help make this show a reality and you help make it feasible for me to look at this as something I can do for a living, not just kind of a vanity project. And you top tier clients, you know who you are. It means so much to me that you would invest that much. Aside from the money, the fact that you would have the trust to turn over your desired transformation and put it in my hands and be that open to me. A lot of people that I work with, all of the people I work with, it's not just about sets and reps and eat this, don't eat that. There's a level of vulnerability that you have to have where it's like, this week, my wife's been driving me crazy. And because of that, I've had nothing but pizza and cheesecake. And my boss is a fucking asshole. And that's really at the core of where you get these huge body transformations when you look at it from the inside out. Because anybody can eat egg whites and anybody can lift weights. It's, can you get control over yourself in a holistic fashion to be able to do it for years and years and years, or for just a long period of time in general? And so thank you. It's a good tie-in, because the first thing I want to go over is I'm very, very upset. I get very, very prickly about the fitness industry in many facets. It is bothersome to me. But one area that makes me so mad is this notion of like speedy results. It's very lucrative to sell people this idea of the 28-day get ripped for summer program, or use this product and bulk up, gain 5 pounds of muscle in 30 days. And the reality is with anything, but you can see it very clearly with body transformation or with sports performance, but with anything in life that is really powerful, really meaningful, It takes forever. It takes a long time to do anything. Anything that you look at the end of your life and go, wow, that was very meaningful to me. This was very powerful to my life. Being a good parent, developing a career that you're passionate about, making lots of money in whatever said career, if you want to do that, okay? A successful marriage or romantic relationship. All of these, every one of these things, recovery from drug addiction, developing an addiction, none of these things happens quickly. All of these things that are powerful, both in a negative and a positive direction, oftentimes take a very long time, and they take a consistent level of effort for a prolonged period of time. And one of the main reasons why I think there is so much malaise in this country in particular, I can't speak to other countries, but I can say for North America, right, is because we have become hijacked by this notion of let me get this quickly. If I can't get this quickly, then it must not be worth doing. And it's actually the opposite that's true. There are some things that are very quick and they give you immediate kind of gratification that are awesome. I'm not going to – look, when you have that piece of pizza or a couple pieces of pizza, when you have that – you work a long day. You work a hard day and you deal with your family and you do what you can to put food on the table and to keep your wife and your husband happy and your kids and do – you better fucking believe at night, if that's your thing, cracking open a couple beers or taking a bong load is fucking awesome. And I'm not saying don't do those things if you're able to regulate it. What I am saying is that these long, these meaningful, powerful kind of ideas, like I said, when you're on your deathbed, whether it be tomorrow or in 40 years, you understand that it comes with a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of discomfort over a prolonged period of time. So I want to show this clip of this lady, Allie Gilbert, who, again, I like her very much. She's very smart, very smart. The Allie Gilbert on Instagram. She has this client that she wanted to show off, and she should, because this is an amazing transformation. And she puts up this guy. He's not that fat. He's not like out of – he's just like a normal dude. But she wanted to show what is possible in 3 years – 3 years of working with this man who started from like not that bad a place. He's just kind of a pudgy dude. So check this out. Watch this video. And then again, keep in mind what you're normally seeing.
Showing up.
Invest in yourself.
Invest,
you know?
In yourself.
Believe in yourself. You. Yes. Believe, and you can start to see the guy's losing weight. The love handles are going right down. Away. Look at him. Oh, man, he's starting to get, look at that back now.
See the results. Even if you don't see the results for
and he just keeps, now look at this. 2 years in, 3 years in, and finally he's stage ready after 3 years.
They're not going to come if you quit.
By the way, to get those results where you're seeing these pictures now, 3 years is fast. Because that guy is shredded and jacked. That doesn't come easy. That guy actually, and I wanted to use that video as an example to show, just to show you that you're talking 36 months of effort to get those results. I got to be honest, that's kind of fast. Even if he was on gear. Because that dude was jacked and shredded to the bone. And he started, he wasn't, like I said, he wasn't, you know, Biggest Loser. But he was just a normal guy. And I get plenty of normal guys, 25 pounds, 50 pounds overweight, plenty of normal girls, 40 pounds overweight, who are contacting me, and then they're unhappy that they don't see results in 2 months. Because we've been brain fucked so thoroughly to think, and we, by the way, because of Instagram and things like that, and I'm not shitting on Instagram, I make my life on Instagram and TikTok, and you've been brainwashed into thinking that we have realistic body image issue ideas. We don't. Men and women, old and young, right now are so fucked up in the head about what an idealized or realistic body is, because so many dudes with crazy six packs and so many chicks with 20-inch waists and gigantic asses that are made of muscle are putting their bodies out there It was a very, 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 very small margin of the population that saw those images just 25 years ago. It was dudes like me and really, really rare these chicks that would go out and buy Women's Health Magazine, Muscle and Fitness, Women's Muscle and Fitness, Flex Magazine. This was a 1 to 2% of the population was actually investing the time to going out there and seeing those images. Now, all humans, old, young, men, women, black, white, doesn't fucking matter. You are inundated with this imagery of these guys who have fucking shredded abs and women with diced glutes and big booties and tight little waists. And you have this really disproportionate idea of what a body should look like. Okay? And on top of that, then you have an incredibly disproportionate idea of how to achieve said body. And you go and you work your ass off and you lose 25 pounds of fat and you gain a little muscle and you're like, why don't I look like fill in the blank chick? Why don't I look like Chris Hemsworth in Thor Ragnarok or Jason Momoa? And you realize like, hey, those people have God tier genetics. Most of them are using performance enhancing drugs at a pretty high level and they train their fucking asses off because they get millions of dollars to do that. They get to forego all the shit that we have to worry about to achieve that body because that's how they put food on the table. Dwayne The Rock Johnson literally puts food. Yes, is he an actor? Is he a wrestler? Of course. But the reality is like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is rich because he's jacked as fuck. Okay? He's not Christian Bale. I think The Rock is great on camera. I think The Rock, in his prime in like the Attitude Era, was one of the greatest people on the mic. He was so fucking talented and funny on the mic. The Rock's awesome. But let's be clear. The Rock makes millions of dollars because The Rock is jacked as fuck. Crazy jacked. And so you better believe when he's spending 4 hours a day splitting up his workouts into cardio in the morning and weight training at night I know Rob Corddry. We're not like best friends or anything, but I'm very friendly with Rob Corddry, you know, from radio and stuff like that. I like Rob very much. I think he's a very talented actor, but I know the guy. Okay. So we were just shooting the shit one time. I think it was actually on the air. We were talking about doing Pain and Gain because Rob Corddry was an ancillary character in Pain and Gain, right? So I go, what's The Rock's eating like? Because we were talking about, he was saying how great Dwayne, he's so hardworking, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's actually very talented and he's hardworking and he's doing. I go, what's eating like for that dude? Because he's so big. If you've never met The Rock, you forget. He's not only buff, he's like 6'3". He's huge. And Rob Corddry told me on set, there were dudes that was their job. He'd be eating one meal, they're cooking another. And they bring it to him in between takes. He'd be like, we're doing a take, and The Rock would just get like a bowl of shrimp and rice. You know, you hold on a minute. And then they go and do that. And then sure enough, while he's eating that shit, they're cooking another meal. And then chicken and rice is coming in a couple hours, you know? What normal person has that luxury? None. Zero people. Okay? So don't have this disproportionate idea of what your body should look like. Because you're inundated with said imagery. And understand that one of the biggest virtues, I speculate with anything of importance in life, but most certainly when it comes to aesthetic changes, one of the biggest virtues you can have, up there with discipline, up there with self-worth and self-belief, up there with work ethic and lack of laziness, right? Maybe above all of that, patience. You have to have some level of patience. If you want too much too quickly, you will not only not get your intended goal, you're going to push it farther away. If you train twice a day for 2 hours because you're like so desperate to get jacked, you're going to put yourself in the hospital. Or at the very least, you're going to put yourself in bed sick, calling in sick to work, not being able to train for 2 weeks at a time, 2 months at a time. You try to just overstep your boundaries And next thing you know, you've actually gotten yourself farther away. If you want to get jacked so desperately that you're eating 6,000 calories a day, you're going to get so fat that you're now so much farther away from being jacked that you've shot yourself in the foot. Here's Dr. Mike Israetel. Again, another guy who I respect very much. He certainly... People in the fitness industry get catty and they talk shit. One thing's for sure, Dr. Mike Israetel knows what he's talking about when it comes to hypertrophy and body transformation. And here he is talking about gaining mass. Listen to what he has to say.
The thing about getting big is that it requires you to add size. The only way you can add size is if you eat more calories than you burn. If you eat 1,000 more calories than you burn, you're going to get really fat very fast. If you eat 100 more calories than you burn, no one's going to notice that you're gaining anything. But somewhere between 250 extra daily calories and 500 extra daily calories, which reflects gaining roughly half a pound to a pound per week, that's going to add some size.
0.5 pounds to 1 pound, somewhere in that ballpark, a week. That's how much you should be gaining. And I completely support that. You get so gangbusters about being a jacked monster that you start eating 3,000 more calories than you should be eating. And you're like, I gained 20 pounds this month. You gained 19 pounds of fat and water. And now your hormones are all screwy. Your estrogen's through the roof. And you're making it even harder to put on mass. But then, I suffer from this way more than the alternative. But I suffer from this a lot. I want to bulk up. I'm in a gaining phase right now. I'm so obsessive about my fucking abs that I'm eating like 50 to 100 calories more than I should be eating. Measuring that, I was like, oh, I have this quarter cup of rice, and like because I get so obsessive about my abs blurring out, you know, and like my delts looking a little bit more blurry, then now I'm not gaining any muscle anyway, right? So you have to have the patience, the self-control, to play the long game. I'm gonna gain a pound, maybe if I'm lucky, of muscle a week. That's like top tier. That's like Ronnie Coleman. Okay, but natural athletes with normal genetics, you're 0.5, if you're lucky, 0.5 pounds you should be gaining a week, maybe a pound a week. And so that over 2 months, 3 months, you may have gained 15 pounds. I mean, that's crazy. I think hopefully if you're a fan of this show, you had Justin Harris sitting on this couch right here talking about it a couple months ago, and he trains the best bodybuilders in the world, some of the best bodybuilders and physiques in the world. And he said, you're lucky.
And you're actually lucky if you're gaining 5 pounds of muscle. You know, if you're just looking at it from a scientific approach, you're finding 5 pounds of muscle in a year.
5 pounds of muscle is a lot. It makes a huge difference if you don't get fat. But this is reality. Okay, the once you get really, a guy like me, 45 years old, and been training a long time, I'm not going to gain 5 pounds in a year is realistic. But if you're just getting started, newbie gains, and you're young, you got great hormones, and you're ready to go, you could gain 15 pounds of muscle in a year. But if you want it too quickly, if you don't have the patience, you're going to gain 45, 50 pounds in a year. And guess what, shithead? It's going to be mostly fat and water. And I talked about it with Conor McGregor, you know, a year ago when we first started seeing those pictures of Conor McGregor. And the internet's like, oh, Conor's getting huge. He's getting jacked. I was like, no, Conor's fat. Look at his bloated ass face. Because he tried, you know, he's a guy who is probably going from burning just extraordinary amounts of calories a day from training. Being a professional MMA fighter at high level, you have no idea the work, just the exhaustion that they're putting their body through on a day-to-day basis. Shatters his leg, so he's not doing that. And now he's just eating and pumping iron, and everybody's like, oh my God, he's getting huge. I was like, no, he really isn't. He really is not. I mean, I think he's, because Conor McGregor also has great genetics and is clearly a very fast twitch guy, he put on some muscle, but he had this big fucking bloated face, and he just didn't look good. He didn't look good. When you see Conor when he was fighting at 155, especially when he was fighting 145, he looked a little sickly. But when he'd be fight ready when he was fighting at 155, you're like, whoa, especially that second Diaz fight when he was fighting at 170. I think it was catch weight at one, or Did they agree to fight at welterweight or was it a catch weight? I just remember it was bigger. He was bigger than normal. Donald Cerrone fight, too. The Cerrone fight. He looked fucking amazing, like an Adonis, you know? And just don't get it twisted. Like, weight gain is not the goal. You want to put on mass, you got to have patience. If you want to lose body fat, you got to have patience. If you try to have a let's say you have your baseline for maintenance is 2,000 calories. If you try to eat 1,000 calories for 3 weeks to get ready for some event, like, you're really not burning a lot of body fat. You're just sucking water and muscle mass out of yourself. You ever watch Survivor? Those people lose like 40, 50 pounds. And it's not a good thing. If weight loss is just what you want to do, just starve yourself. Trust me, you'll lose a shit ton of weight. You'll lose a shit ton of weight. You're not losing the weight you want to lose because you have to have the patience to have like a 500 calorie, 250 calorie deficit over a crazy long period of time and train and take care of yourself and sleep and be kind to yourself and do all this stuff. And you got to do it forever. But when you achieve that, if you were, you know, like my guest last week, Laura Masetich, when you see her body now, she's not just a chick who lost a bunch of weight. She is a bad bitch, like a straight baddie, and she was huge and fat. Do you think that happened quick? No. She had to play the long game. And the light at the end of that tunnel was really far away. And she just didn't stop. Boom, pounding, 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 keeping going. And there were probably times where there wasn't much progress. There wasn't much motivation to keep going. Because you're like, I feel like I've been more perfect on my diet this week than any. And I think I might have gained a pound. As we all do from sodium and you know, the humidity in the air and water we drink, it's not a linear thing. But she kept pounding. And then when you get that, when you achieve that, the results are so much more fulfilling than just stepping on a scale being like, I'm lighter. But you know as well as I do, and I don't even have to see your ass, that you get in front of the mirror and you're like, yeah, well, I lost 40 pounds, but I'm not exactly happy with what I'm seeing. And I'm certainly not happy with how I feel. Can't really sleep that well because I'm starving and I'm edgy because it's not how it's supposed to go. You can't just bypass all that. Okay. So I just want to, I know I'm sure it was a little bit long-winded, but I am passionate about that because I do think the narrative right now, the very popular narrative is this is how I should look and it's completely unrealistic. And the concurrent narrative is that, and I should do that pretty quickly. Neither are true. The idealized body for you may be something like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It may, if you're a girl, it may be, Jessica Biel in her, you know, or so, you know, one of these Instagram models. That's fine. But don't sell yourself short if you make amazing results and it doesn't necessarily equate to what those people are achieving because they get paid big bucks to look that way. And almost all, certainly the people I just mentioned, have crazy genetics, crazy off the charts genetics. You know what I'm saying? I have a buddy, Mike Safi. He and his brother both. I'm trying to book him on the show. They're out in Southern California, but I'm going to try to line it up. I like Mike very much, and I don't know his brother, but he just won Masters at the Mr. Olympia. They're both Masters Olympia champions, okay? Mike is a natural Olympia champion, and his brother's a Masters Olympia. They're natural, drug-tested world champions of physiques. Shredded, amazing, full muscle bellies, okay? I look pretty good. I'm not going to lie, for a 45-year-old guy, I'm looking good. I'll never, no matter how long or hard I train, look like either of the Safi brothers. Why? Their shoulders are this wide. Their waists are like this. Out of the womb, they already beat me. I have a big, blocky waist, a short torso. I have some pretty broad shoulders. I think naturally lucky, but Mike's and the, it doesn't. You know, you're of course. Then you start putting the pieces together. They are both dominant track stars in high school. I was a good athlete and all, but I was never fast, gifted. They were blessed with amazing fast switch muscle. They have teeny little waists, big wide shoulders. Everything's working out for them. Does that change the fact that they grind? No, they grind their ass off. But I can't ever get disappointed if I do all the gear and train crazy and have the perfect diet and not look like that guy or those gentlemen. They win, you know? I'll never look like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. Brad Pitt's like 6'4" and thin. He's a naturally thin guy. But, you know, but with clothes on, if I stand next to Brad Pitt, he'd be like, oh, the tall fella doesn't work out, does he? Because it depends on what you look like. Don't shoot yourself in the foot thinking that you don't have advantages. Can I look like Tom Hardy in Warrior? Fuck yeah, I could. I probably have at times. But I'll never look like Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool, who looks great. Because Ryan Reynolds is like a million feet tall and teeny, very lean body, you know, kind of swimmer body. So when he jacks up, he has that Tarzan thing. I'll never be that guy. I'm a little fucking power plug. I'm 5'10", 190, you know? So it's just like, don't have a very narrow idea of what you should look like in the end. And when you don't achieve that, have a realistic idea of what you should look like in the end or want to look like in the end. And then also have a realistic idea of how long it's going to take to get there. Okay? Lastly, and maybe the most crazy, I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is real so much that I literally had to do fact checking. Because I was like, well, there's no fucking way. This is mainstream old school media just trying to get clicks. There's no fucking possibility that there is TikTok steroid challenges. That's just insane. I know, I just got through saying earlier in this episode, there's a lot of dangerous kind of body image problems with social media. I get that. I hope I don't perpetuate some. I'm not that jacked, but, you know, I'm an older guy who's got abs. So maybe putting up pictures, maybe it does give people a bad feeling about it. I hope I don't. But I don't think it's so bad that there's literal TikTok steroid challenges, because we all know that TikTok is geared towards young children. And so that there's it's literally tantamount, in my opinion, to being TikTok fentanyl challenges. That's how crazy it is to me as someone who used steroids as a young person. I want to preface this all by saying, if there's one thing that I will pat myself on the back for and say that, oh, you know what? That is an asset. That is something that I have in my quiver that I do well. And a lot of it is mostly by circumstance. It's not even that I have some talent. It's just the way my life played out is that when I hosted Loveline for a decade, over a decade, this is an advice radio show where lots of times people will call up with silly stuff. You know, hey, how do I ask my girlfriend out? You know, or how do I ask this girl out? I sit next to her in my math class, right? Sometimes I can't stop farting. You know, there's a lot of silly, fun stuff too, because I was doing it with a physician sitting next to me, Dr. Drew. But especially towards the end, as society started to change a little bit, there's a lot of serious shit. I'm 17. I'm addicted to meth. There was a lot of serious stuff, a lot of addiction, a lot of abuse. And if I could honestly, confidently say, like, well, that is what I have going for me, is that I made a shit ton of mistakes, especially when I was young. And I would take these calls, and 100% of the 10 out of 10 times, I would be able to talk to that young girl, young guy, and I'd be like, listen, I know. I don't think, I know. The last thing you want to hear is some old fart like me telling you what to do and what not to do. I get that. I hated that shit too. But I've been where you are. I sympathize and I'm empathic. Be very careful and really rethink what you're doing right now. When it comes to fucking chicks without a condom, when it comes to using meth, using heroin, using pills, drinking like crazy, drinking and driving, all these things. It wasn't like the Nancy Reagan era, like when I was a kid and you have DARE officers coming in and being like, don't just say no. Don't you? I'm like, shut the fuck up. It literally made me want to go. I was like, I'm going to say yes, because this is insane. There's a 40-year-old person telling me what to do and what not. I'm not doing that. I'm not sitting here saying, hey, 19-year-old guy who looks up to, Brock Lesnar, don't use steroids. What I'm saying is I've done it, and it's a bad idea. The overwhelming lion's share of young people that are going to use performance-enhancing drugs have no fucking clue what they're doing. And these are immensely dangerous drugs, especially when used irresponsibly. Do you know the difference between an anabolic and an androgenic compound? Do you know what DHT enhancers are? Do you know good post-cycle therapy, aromatase inhibitors? Do you know bridging cycles? Do you have any concept, or did you just see something make me big, muscle go good, put in body? I am someone who really knew what I was doing before I took that step into using steroids when I was 20, 21 years old. I had the luxury of people older than me who had been through around the block, and they take me and they explain everything. You got to run tests no matter what you're doing. If you're cutting, you got to use the short esters or something like propionate. Okay. Then you got to combine it with the right anabolic. If you're bulking up, maybe DECA is a good choice. Winstrol as you get closer to leaning out, or like if you're going to do a show prep, Primobol is old school, but it works really well. They all broke it down for me. And it was still a fucking disaster. When you take anabolic androgenic compounds, your natural hormone system shuts down. It recognizes, you wanted something? Your balls do shrink for you fellas out there. They do. You know why? They stop working. Contrary to popular belief, your balls don't make cum. They produce male hormones. Your prostate makes you cum. That's why Dr. Drew, who had his prostate removed, shoots ghost loads. It's crazy. I know. This still blew my fucking mind, because he'll blow loads and no load comes out. He just feels the good. And I said, that's like my 9/11, because my favorite thing in the world is ropey strands of jizz. I'm getting off topic. Here's my point. So your balls are their testes are there to produce testosterone and male hormones. When they recognize that an exogenous form of said compound is coming into your body, they're like, okay, our job is done here. And that's when you get testicular atrophy. Okay? When you purposely shut down your testicular function and subsequently your endocrine and hormonal systems, that took me a decade to get back to normal function. A fucking decade. And I had friends in high places that gave me good advice on Clomid and HCG and real post-cycle therapy. And to just get myself out of the emotional downfall of losing gains, of feeling the immediate psychological, negative psychological effects of putting those drugs in my body when I already had perfectly high testosterone levels and sex binding globulin, hormone globulin, all these things. I was already healthy. I was 20 fucking 1 years old working out. And you're going to suppress everything and then throw those dice to have a good decade, maybe? It could be shorter, could be longer, but it's going to be a long time of getting yourself sexually, emotionally, physically, psychologically back to where you feel good about any of that again. You're going to put that on the line for a fucking cycle when you're already hormonally great? Check yourself, man. It's not worth it. Now, if you're a young guy who's in the major leagues, yeah, all bets are off. I don't give a fuck. If I made millions of dollars to do certain things with my body, I'd be like, I totally get it, dude. Don't get caught. You're a professional grappler, you're a professional model, you're a professional bodybuilder. You're on the fringes, and take my advice or not, but I kind of get it when that advice goes over your head, because look, that's your livelihood. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying it's worth it, but it's different. If you're just Johnny Cool Guy who wants to be buff, or Molly Flatbutt who wants to have Instagram model booty, don't do it. Because I guarantee you with 100% certainty, if you don't lie to yourself and you have the discipline and the willpower and the belief in yourself to follow through with eating right and training, you will look amazing. Because newsflash, you're fucking 20 or 19 or 23 or whatever the fuck you are. I'm 45 fucking years old. You are already functioning. I take hormone therapy to get to where you are now. Literally. I just started hormone replacement therapy earlier this year, and I have to get my blood taken by a doctor and so that I could be in a healthy range. What is a healthy range? What you have right now, fuckface! I hate to make a joke. I'm being dead serious. So check this out. So I see this screen cap on MSNBC, right? And it says, steroid TikTok videos aimed at teens get millions of views on the app, according to the report. And I don't do what is common for people your age I'm talking to now. I actually read the article, and I was going, well, that sounds bad. I don't know. MSNBC, and this isn't a partisan thing, because it could have been Fox News. It doesn't matter. I was just like, this seems like something that would get a lot of attention. I don't know if they're steroid TikToks, because then again, I also am kind of self-aware. I'm 44 or 45. I'm not on TikTok. That's kind of what kind of fucking loser am I? What am I going to do on TikTok? I'm an old man with kids and shit. I'm not familiar with like the way things work on TikTok, you know? So I just kind of wrote it. I was like, I think that's a scared. I don't know. I cut you kids in the TikTok a little bit more slack. I was like, there's no fucking way. Because like I said, I kind of look at it like there's meth TikTok. And I'm like, there's no way there's fucking meth TikTok. We would all kind of collectively go like, that's a bad. Sure enough, I go to Google. I go to TikTok. I just on the browser. I don't even have the app. You know what? I go and I put in steroid TikTok and steroid TikTok challenges. And there's a ton of fucking steroid TikTok challenges. It blew my fucking mind. Because of all the stuff I was just talking about. I was young using steroids. It's not a good idea. It's actually profoundly dangerous. It can ruin your life. It didn't ruin my life, but it came damn near close. I had to have a tremendous level of psychological, emotional, and medical support to pull my shit out of the hole that it creates. And here is challenges to do, and like, yeah, let's show off our on top of it, the most dangerous of all steroids. Well, not the most, okay, because DNP and shit like it, but most people aren't even aware of them. But as far as like commonly known steroids, trenbolone, trenbolone acetate, it's the one that fucks your body up the most. You feel like shit. Check this out. So I go and I see like these trend challenges and I'm like, this is impossible. I click on it and sure enough, there's a video of another guy I like a lot, Greg Doucette. Greg Doucette's an IFBB pro bodybuilder who's been open about his use. Listen to what he has to say about this shit.
The 30-day trend challenge.
I completed the 30-day trend challenge, and the results might just shock you. The challenge is simple. Take trend for 30 days and see how much progress you can actually make.
Do not take trend. Of all the steroids I can think of, this is the worst one in terms of how it makes you feel. It's the most suppressive, makes you feel like garbage, very hard to come off, shuts you down for months. And so why would you take it? And so anyone thinking about going on this 30-day challenge, well, you are an idiot.
He's right. If you think about doing this, I'm not going to call you an idiot. I'm not going to say you're dumb. What I will say is, like, I've been you. If I had TikTok in 1999, I would absolutely be pumping my ass full of shit. Let me rephrase that, because that clip's going to be used forever in all of all over Grindr. I would be injecting myself and taking pills all day if I had TikTok. Legit. So I'm not condescending to you. I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about yourself. I'm saying I'm the old fuck who was you. I don't want to see you go through the same shit that I went through. Because just like with narcotic addiction, I have a supportive family. I came from a wealthy upbringing where my dad would write checks to rehabilitation centers when I got myself into trouble. I had friends and family all over that would support me and tell me, you can do this. Let's go. And it was still fucking impossible to get off drugs. I had professional bodybuilders, retired professional bodybuilders, meatheads, old drug gurus all around me, chat rooms of real smart people showing me how to use steroids when I was 20. And I soaked it all up like a sponge. And I used them properly. I didn't get crazy. I trained. I ate. And everything. And when I got off, it was impossible for me to try to piece my life back together because of the depression, because of the anxiety, because of losing my gains, because of the flushed red hot skin, because of not being able to sleep, because my hormones were back, because I was a 23-year-old guy who didn't want to fuck. And I'm the horniest guy that's ever lived. I control it. But all I like, all I care about is hot chicks. All I care. I was beating off 5 times a day when I couldn't have sex. Even when I was, sometimes I would have sex with an attractive girl and it would make me feel more horny because I'd be like, I'm such a stud. And I'd beat off because I was so, and I was not only not horny, I found it disgusting to like think about kissing girls and stuff. It was like, ugh, because my libido was trashed because I had internally destroyed my body. So I'm not coming out here as some old fuck being like, you dumb kids, reckless. I'm saying it because this looks appealing and it gets dressed up in a way that it seems glamorous and cool. I know because I'm that guy that there are plenty of young people who desperately want to be jacked, desperately want to be shredded. And I'm telling you, this is the reality. Don't fucking do it. And it's not worth it, especially when you're young and you have great hormones already. All right. Thank you. If you're interested in further information or more geeky info on anything that I talk about on this podcast, I will put my Patreon link in the show notes below. And thank you again to Giorgio, First Detachment, and BetOnline in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares. Remember, I do. Be good.